providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Back time for segment 7 of the Cortland Political Report, featuring Jim McKinney and me, Big Al. Hope you enjoyed the top of the hour news. I don't know how you can enjoy something like that, but I said it anyway. I would guess that the top of the hour news today on the stations which carry the Cortland Political Report probably was very similar to the news that I watched last night. I don't think there have been any big changes. Jim, am I crazy or am I correct?
I don't know. Everything's happened so fast.
Yeah, they do.
There's some crazy things that have been happening.
No question about that. The one thing that happened last night that really intrigued me, I spent a lot of time going over it, and that was the meeting at the space rocket base of Russia between Vladimir Putin, where they ate crab cakes, and if I'm not mistaken, the famous Russian fish, which escapes me right now, and toasted the elimination of the Band of Evil, which they define as being headed up by America. Any comments, Jim?
Well, I think it's a if the Putin government is dependent on the North Koreans for any legitimacy, I think that's kind of a dangerous move on, and a desperate move on Putin's part.
Yeah.
It's not like Kim Jong-un is well respected around the world.
Exactly.
And of course, as this ongoing conflict, this ugly ongoing conflict in Ukraine, of course, Eastern Ukraine and Crimea continues, it's problematic. And it looks like by most reports that the deal is to cooperate on defense and weapon systems between the two, because of the inability of the Russians to sustain their industrial base to support ongoing operations.
Yeah. It's give me some comments, if you would, on the Ukrainian attack on the Russian assets in the Black Sea, would you?
Yeah, so one of the key elements from a strategic point from Russia is to maintain that Black Sea fleet.
Right.
And that Black
of
Sea
course.
Fleet is it's headquartered in Sevastopol in Crimea. And of course, this has been a big problem throughout history, but certainly since the 2015 takeover of Crimea by Russians from Ukrainian government forces and the attempts to create the land bridge, logistics supply land bridge from mainland Russia through the eastern part of Ukraine down to Crimea,
right,
shows that the importance strategically of the Black Sea Fleet. Well, if it's at risk to long-range cruise missiles from NATO countries providing them to the Ukrainian government, that makes the sustainability and the cost of maintaining that Black Sea Fleet very, very high for Russian defense ministry. And apparently in the last night, you know, yesterday's raid and maybe another one today, I understand, there's just a recent one.
Yeah.
There was a submarine damaged, a ship in that was under repairs in dry dock was damaged, and a third ship was damaged. If you start taking in, and we've already seen a number of major, in fact, one of the biggest in the region, a Russian cruiser, taken out and sunk, basically made inoperable by Ukrainian forces. If you continue to see this, then the Russians are going to have to make a very interesting strategic calculation on how to protect that and what the response would be. But most importantly, can they sustain and protect the long-term viability of a base in Crimea? And that's certainly what the NATO advisors, I'm sure, and of course the Ukrainians are looking at, how to take away one of the key elements of the entire purpose of Russian intervention into the region. Take away the fleet.
There's no much value in
Crimea.
Let me ask you and the listeners a question. Whoever thought in a couple of years ago that Ukraine would be able to put up as effective a fight against Russia, admittedly a defensive action. Who would have thought that Zelensky and his folks would have ever been able to be as effective as they are against the Russians? I certainly never believed it, Jim.
Well, as I said from the initial stages of the invasion, the United States, NATO countries have been working through the Partnership for Peace program with Ukrainians since, you know, the early 1990s after the dissolution of the Soviet Union. And those training and that relationship evolved a long time ago. And that's one of the reasons why Putin was concerned and why he went ahead and took action, was he didn't want that relationship to continue down the road. That was a strategic threat to him. So I expected that there would be a better defense than many people said, and I talked about it often. We've talked about it on this radio show. The problem is a lot of people still don't recognize the damage and the loss to both sides. I mean, there's no one winning this war, and I just want to make that clear.
There is no one.
Everyone's suffering. Everyone's losing this war, but the people, the government that started this effort was in 2014 by taking Crimea and attempting to undermine eastern Ukraine and take control of that. And then it continued with an invasion where they actually moved forces from Belarus and from mainland Russia into areas near the capital of Ukraine, Kiev. And there's no question who initiated this war, whether it was justified or not. That's a completely different question. But the problem that many people don't realize is the pain and the impact long term to Russia that this will have on them. Even though they're still, you know, exporting gas and oil from Russia to Western Europe, there's still, you know, some financial capabilities out there. The long term suffering and pain for the Russian people, and of course for the Ukrainian people, is going to be measured in decades, not in months or years. And the longer it goes, this is just, it's a terrible tragedy in my view.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And of course, it's going to be measured in decades and not in years. No question whatsoever. I think nobody perhaps was more surprised than Vladimir Putin when the Ukrainians put up as effective a defense as they did, Jim.
I mean, it is a absolutely, you're right. I mean, there had to be, he has to be questioning. Obviously, he's lost a large number of generals. He's had this whole little, you know, potential coup problem, which he wouldn't have been able to stop if it would have continued on with Prigozhin. And, you know, these things are destabilizing, but it's also destabilizing to the world. And a lot of it has to do with bad policy, bad decisions from both the Biden government and Western European countries that failed to take action early on to avoid this type of a problem. And of course, you combine that with what's happening in Asia with China's threats over Taiwan. They're actually preparing for war while others are kind of sleeping and hoping it doesn't happen. But then when you have these meetings with Biden, Korea, and Japan, that they talk about these issues and they talk about war,
about
a stronger defense, that means that, look, we're in a very, very, very difficult situation on the global front.
Yeah, no question about that. It is a much more of a Cold War going on internationally right now. I would have to say that in terms of severity, it definitely approaches the situation when Khrushchev was in power. Jim, we've only got about 30 seconds. Can you comment on that and then wrap it up?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, Kim Jong-un is saying he was going to hold hands with Putin in their strategic operation. He's going to, you know, they are going to work together, and unfortunately that's not good for Russia nor North Korea as they isolate themselves even farther from the world, I think.
Yeah, there you go. I agree 100%. You guys, we're going to be right back to wrap up KER Politics.